Read, please, in Matthew chapter 16.
Brother John Hawthorne.
Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." May God bless the reading of His Word. We feel that we would need to direct our attention again at the close of the meeting to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to think of the question that He Himself did ask His disciples, "Whom do men say that I am?" We know that the opinions of men are not of great importance on the one hand, but we know that on the other hand, in an oft-repeated statement, that men will read the Christian when they will not read their Bible. And during the course of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can see how men read that holy and that blessed person. And we can see that they had to acknowledge that in Him they could see certain traits and certain characteristics. They could see in Him some resemblance to John the Baptist. They could see in Him some resemblance to Elijah the prophet. And they could see in Him some resemblance to Jeremiah the prophet. I would like to ask you a question this afternoon. What does men say about you? And what does men say about me? Would they see anything like John the Baptist in you? Would they see anything like Elijah in you? Would they see anything like Jeremiah in you? Would they see anything of the person of Christ in you? What did men see when they looked on and listened to John the Baptist? One of the Gospels, and I refer briefly maybe to quotations out of the four Gospels, one of the Gospels would remind us that John the Baptist was a voice. He wasn't an empty sound. He wasn't sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. John the Baptist was a voice. And a voice has behind it a message. And a voice behind has behind it authority. And a voice behind has behind it that which touches our heart and that which touches our conscience. Are we a voice? John the Baptist was a messenger. Are we messengers? You know, when I was looking for employment, one of the lowest forms of occupation in those days was to be a message boy. It usually meant riding an unusually clumsy and heavy bicycle with a large carrier on the front of it for carrying large boxes of groceries. Such boys are now obsolete, as well as many other professions. But there are necessities to have messengers among the people of God. And my dear sister, you could be a messenger today like Phoebe. She was a messenger of the church. Let us not think that there's anything associated with God's assembly that's too mean or too low for any brother or any sister to be engaged in for the good of the assembly and for the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that someone might see in you just a humble brother and a humble sister that would be content to be a messenger. And you know, a messenger carries a message, and we have been reminded of that. We are also told in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, that John the Baptist was a sent one. There's a very important text in John, chapter 1, and it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And you know, men who would take a public part would need to be very sure that they are sent. There was a man stood on this platform in the 1940s, either just at the close of the war or before it did close. And he read that verse to us. And he said, "In the margin of my Bible," he said, "I have written beside that my own name and a question mark behind it." Now, we leave the motive for that statement because the man is with the Lord. But I think it would be worthy of our consideration. All of us, even we're only messengers, and even we're only voices in the assembly that we are associated with, are we sure that we are sent of God? And are we sure that we have the fellowship and the commendation of our brethren in our own assembly. And we're not going away somewhere distant that we might do something that we cannot do at home or that we haven't done at home. Some said that thou art like John the Baptist. There were two ways in which John acted as a sent one. One of those ways was that he was a preacher. And he was a preacher of righteousness. And he was a preacher of repentance. And he was a preacher of remission. And he was a preacher of wrath. And I can address those remarks to myself and my brethren. Is that how we preach? John the Baptist then, according to John chapter 1 and John chapter 3, he was a witness bearer. And that is within the compass of all the believers. We learn that in the Acts of the Apostles chapter 1. And again we learn concerning John the Baptist in his witness that it was limited. And I passed a remark to someone outside at the interval. We have been reminded of a lot of young Christians who are in their first conference. I wonder how many of us are in our last one. There may not be very little time for any of us. And there certainly will not be little time for all of us. And so John the Baptist had a very limited time for his ministry. But he filled it in service. And we read that he was a burning and a shining light. And the older preachers that used to be with us and they're now gone to their well-earned rest, they used to tell us it's better to wear out than to rust out. My brother, my sister, my preaching brethren, my ministering brethren, are we like John the Baptist? Some say that he's like, that thou art like Elijah. What kind of a man was Elijah? Elijah was a man who came from obscurity. He wasn't one of those of the nobility that we have maybe also been hearing about this afternoon. He wasn't a man filled with pride and ostentation. He wasn't a man that had 7 or 8 letters after his name. And if you have them, you appreciate them and I would appreciate them with you. I know a dear man in Scotland and he received a letter. And all his letters and qualifications were added to his name. And he was asked to come and minister the word of God. And he wrote back to the person who sent the letter to him. And he said, A, B, C, with all these qualifications, doesn't engage in that sort of work. But your humble brother, A, B, C, will be glad. Is there a measure of humility about us? Is there a measure of obscurity about us that fits us and that trains us for a public place? We have been reminded about the young men in the gathering. And if the Lord does not soon come, these beloved brethren who have stood with us and stood before us. And there's others along with Mr. Jordan, you know, in the same age group. That was one reason why I got a little encouragement to take the last 12 meetings of the conference. One of the leading conveners and one of the oldest conveners alongside of our brother, Mr. Jordan, asked me at the door, had I a little word? And so we need to have a time of obscurity when we're hidden. And then the time will come when God will send us forth. And you remember, we read very suddenly in 1 Kings chapter 17, without any introduction at all, and without any list of his family, associations, or anything else, then Elijah the Tishbite stood in the presence of Ahab. Elijah is the one that has Jehovah for his God. And the Tishbite is the one who is a stranger here. We have heard those truths set before us this afternoon. Are you an Elijah, my brother? Are you an Elijah, my sister? Are you one who has come out of obscurity, having been fitted for a place in the assembly and a place in the work of the Lord in every aspect of it? Elijah was such an one. And then he was able to speak with authority. And Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And Elijah was a man who was able to pray effectually and fervently, as we heard yesterday, and thank God for the evidences of it this morning. It's one of the best prayer meetings that ever was at an Easter conference. Oh, are we like Elijah? Some saw in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ likenesses to Jeremiah. Jeremiah had the same experiences as John the Baptist, and he had the same experience as Elijah. He was chosen of God, and he was given a great commission, and he was given great comfort, because he would need it in the carrying out of his commission. We were reminded about those who don't like certain kinds of preachers and they don't like certain kinds of ministry. And the people that Jeremiah was going to, they didn't want him and they didn't want his ministry. And God told him that. But God comforted him, for he said, I'll be with you. I'll be with you. Oh, that's it. When we have God's presence, when we have the power and the liberty of the Holy Spirit, then we can speak the truth of God from the Word of God. Jeremiah got a very solemn commission. He was to root out. And he was to pull down. You wouldn't want too much of that ministry today, would you? Rooting out and pulling down. Oh, there might be much in our lives. And there might be much in our homes. And there might be much in our assemblies that would need rooted out and pulled down before we can be built up. And that was the commission of Jeremiah. How did he go about it? Oh, did he get out the big stick and come with the lordship and heirship of authority and tell the people, you'll do what I say? Ah, he came with a tender heart. But he was a faithful man. He was a faithful man. We need faithful men. And we need faithful women. And thank God we have them. Jeremiah was a faithful man. He was a tender man. He was a compassionate man. And the closing chapters of his book, they are filled with the ministry of restoration. May God restore us this afternoon through all that we have listened to in connection with the precious person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the world looks at you, my brother, my sister, as they look at me, may they see something of John the Baptist in us. May they see something of Elijah in us. May they see something of Jeremiah in us. And to eclipse it all, that they might see all of Christ in you and in me. Shall we pray?